life and your passion. Cody and the Young Bucks are on fire.
I am Chris Jericho, baby.
Goodbye.
Does it get any bigger than Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho?
There will be a women's division.
How would you like to stand across the ring from SCU?
Can tag team wrestling be the main event?
Change the world.
Strip is the 333rd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Arnold.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in and joining us today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you are watching us live, go ahead and tune in and log into your YouTube or Google account. That way you could chat along with us right here in the live chat. I'm pulling it up right now. You could say hi, fact check, talk shit, ask us questions, whatever. I'll see it here, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or just leave a comment right here in the old YouTube section.
Where?
Right here. Make sure you hit the thumbs up and hit the bell so you can get the subscribe button and all that stuff. So that way you can, you know, keep abreast of our goings on.
Breast.
Call Elite Wrestling!
Normally, this is where I would ask one word to describe the show. But first, I'm going to ask y'all, how did y'all watch the show?
Oh.
When did y'all watch the show?
You first.
Me?
Yes.
Thank you. God damn, that was gross.
I didn't mean that.
All right. Me? Yes. I am the traditionalist. I watched it over at a friend's house. We all got together, ordered it on pay-per-view, brought food, made a good old-fashioned wrestling viewing party.
Nice.
That's what I did.
Anybody complaining that $60 or $50 was too much should have done exactly what you did.
And nobody at our place complained. Well, it wasn't our place. It was at our friend Foreman's place. Shout out to Foreman and Bacon. Thank you for having
rich
us
ass
over.
Foreman and Bacon.
Yeah. What?
Not. I said rich ass.
Oh, rich ass. I thought you said ratchet ass.
No.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Right. Yes. I watched it the next morning on motherfucking YouTube. Props to YouTube, where you can find us on right now.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody like chopped it up, but it condensed it into about an hour.
Whole event?
Like an hour or something. Match, like I said, what, 15-minute match was condensed down to like a 13-minute match.
So basically it was like the Hulu version, except not
yes.
Hulu. Okay.
Cutting out all the fat. Well, what they basically did was trim out the matches that were kind of not important, except for the pre-show match. I didn't see any of them. I missed like those Japanese girls matches.
Mm-hmm.
These three guys, Super Smash Brothers or something like that.
Yep,
I missed all that shit. But I got the important matches, the ones that counted. And
the ones that counted.
Fuck, they were fucking great.
One word.
Revolutionary.
Defend yourself.
We've started a revolution, man, and it going in, and like it's kind of a big, more of like a big picture thing, but like, man, it's like us. I saw something on Facebook Monday morning where it says, "Hey, there might be life out there after all, you know, and you know, you a UFO spotted or whatever." It's kind of like spotting a UFO and being and not dismissing it instantly for WWE. It's like, oh. Oh shit! What's that right there? And it's not a competition. Is there whatever they can say whatever they want? It's apples and oranges. But the fact that if someone likes oranges and doesn't like apples, they can go eat oranges now. Mm-hmm. That's fucking great. Or some fat like me likes apples and oranges. I could have my cake and eat it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Satisfying. It was satisfying. I was pleasantly surprised as to how much I actually enjoyed this show. And I shouldn't be as surprised because All In was pretty good too.
Your expectations were high.
But I feel like Double or Nothing was better than All In. Double or Nothing improved on some of the things that All In failed. And for the most part, I have one nit to pick. We'll get to that later. But for the most part, I was satisfied with everything. I liked everything. Except for one little thing, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
You! How did you watch it?
I was there. Mm-hmm. If you touch your head slightly to the left, you'll see the Double or Nothing poster hanging right beside it. Yes, a head slightly to the right.
Blam, blam.
The poster. Yeah.
You son
this
of
was
bitch.
The test pilot, and that was Model A.
Yes.
This was SmackDown when it was just, you know, like a one-off on UPN. This is the first episode of SmackDown as a weekly
with
show.
With a big fist.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you like that.
I think the one word is validation.
Okay.
Ring of Honor, New Japan, Impact, MLW. It's a niche product. Understandably a great product. There's an audience for that also.
Yeah.
But validating is Exhibit A over here. You got a line of credit at Hot Topic just like you can buy every single Bullet Club shirt you can find. And yes, now that AEW's out.
Oh, I already love for AEW.
His kind of fans, his kind of people, his age, young.
You called him young?
Yeah.
All right.
Tell that to this.
Hey.
A little salt and pepper beard over here.
He's 18 with 10 years of experience. Yes. He's not a child. All WWE right. is for children, yes. basically. Yes. They're catering to children audience. But they want to give out a couple of references so the adults don't want to stick around too. No, this is for the teens. These are for the young adults. these are for people that actually want wrestling. Not entertainment. The E in AEW is not entertainment. It's wrestling. And that's what you got in this show.
The E stands for elite.
All entertainment wrestling.
Yeah. E is for elite.
Yeah.
This was validating that this show could go. If people that said, oh man, they can't sell 10,000 at a show.
No.
Oh, that was just once.
Yeah.
That's just once. They can't do it again. Motherfucker, they sold it out in 4 minutes.
They sold the garden out before that. Basically, they didn't specifically, but they kind of did.
Before
the roster, the main
before the announcement was that that the hardcore Bullet Club group was actually moving out, they were advertised for that show and they sold it out too. So yeah, I agree with you. But it was validating, you know. And shit, man, just get into it.
Yeah.
The last image you see, Jon Moxley. First impression of Jon Moxley.
Arnold, I have a mouthful of Oreo.
Okay, so I have. Okay, so when I saw this got spoiled for me because again I watched it Sunday morning with my daughter, and but like I posted on Facebook, we watched it together and we went whoa about like fucking 50 times by the time it was said and done. It was just great. It was awesome, but it got spoiled for me on Facebook. So my first reaction was, huh. Okay, but watching it, pretending that I didn't know, I was like, huh, okay, let's see what we could do. mind you, and I'll preface this, and I'm not going to be fake about this. I've never been a big Ambrose guy. I was never an Ambrose guy. He was the weak link of the Shield to me. He could fucking talk circles around anyone on a microphone, though. He was amazing. So them letting him do that in AEW could be a good thing. But as far as wrestling, meh. You know what I mean? It's just not my style. He's more of an old school, you know, wrestling style, which is okay. But, you know, I like some electrifying stuff, and he doesn't got it. But what he doesn't have is made up for by what he can do and his charisma. So I'm like, I'm intrigued at what they can do with this.
So I admit it. I was the guy who said this shit with Ambrose is a work. He ain't going nowhere. He's getting a little bit of time off. He's going to enjoy himself. He's going to re-sign his contract. We're getting worked. He ain't going nowhere. When Moxley showed up at AEW, I had to eat a little bit of crow. I was wrong.
How does crow taste?
Doesn't taste like these Oreos.
No.
Oh, tastes bad. Real bad.
Unless you season it with a little bit of dry rub.
And that's exactly what happened. Got seasoned and put a nice stuff on there because the fact that I had to eat crow was overshadowed by the fact that, God damn it, John Moxley's in AEW in the fucking main event at the end of everything. And you know what? He might be able to have a fucking character now.
Yeah.
He made crow delicious.
Yes. Yes. He made crow delicious again.
Even though you eat damn near everything.
Well, this is true. Yeah. You don't get like this without that. But anyway. Are you talking to yourself in the live chat?
What's up, bitches?
God damn it. So, I agree with Arnold that I haven't been the biggest Dean Ambrose fan. But I do know that before Dean was Dean, when he was Moxley back in the day, his style wasn't the same style in WWE.
Oh, no.
His style is something that can't be in WWE at all. You know, we talk about Nakamura, we talk about AJ, they water him down. This, they completely changed his style because his style was hardcore wrestling style. Blood and guts and thumbtacks and barbed wire and saws and, you know, staples and glass and all that shit that, like, I don't even necessarily really want to see.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's kind of left that in the past and adopted a new style, maybe he could go back to some of it a little bit, especially seeing this under the while still radiating in the glow of all the blood and the color that we saw in Cody versus Dustin, maybe Dean could pull off tasteful hardcore in AEW. We know he could do the mic work. We know that. So I'm excited.
I made this comparison in our sister podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. I got spoiled at the ending of
Michael, Daniel, welcome.
I got spoiled out of Avengers Endgame 2 hours before I went to watch the fucking movie.
I still haven't watched it. Do not spoil it for me right now.
But enough of that movie was so good that I forgot about the end until I saw the end.
Yes.
By the time the pre-show matches happened and we're live on pay-per-view, I completely forgot about Jon Moxley. So I was about as oblivious as Jim Ross when he saw him in the ring. Like, if Jon Moxley did not show up, I would still be where I am now, is my opinion of Double or Nothing. The fact that he did show up was just like, not only did you put icing on the other cake, you brought me a mini cake just to take home and have next to me to bed in case I have hankerings at 3 a.m. That's what that was, you know? And just watching the promo afterward that he cut in the locker room, yeah, this isn't somebody writing a script for him. This isn't somebody telling him A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They're just telling him, that's where you need to go. I'm going to trust that you can get there on your own.
Yeah.
May the force be with you. And there he goes.
Daniel says TNT's got TV-14. Moxley could get away with saying with more stuff.
USA has TV-14. WWE doesn't. So it's two different things.
No, WWE's TV-PG.
What I'm saying
WWE is
USA can be TV-14 if they want to. It's WWE's discretion.
Yeah. Okay.
So it could be AEW's discretion. And, I mean, after watching this pay-per-view, they allow blood, obviously. So we'll see. whether that was incidental or not. If they're smart, they'll teeter-totter in the middle somewhere between PG and 2014. Because I remember watching TNA in 2011, 2012, and seeing how it's kind of like they were trying to be the anti-TV 14, which to me was making them fucking go lower than they needed to be.
What do you mean the anti-TV?
Like, they were trying too hard. Like, they were saying shit and, like, boop, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had, like, they were raunchy in 2011 when WWE was at its peak of PG-ness.
You're talking about, like, when
Impact.
Abyss had Janice, and, like, you saw RVD blood coming out of his fucking stomach.
Yeah, like, Bully Ray's promos, we were always, like, cussing the word lace and stuff like that, okay, which is fine, but again,
he's fat!
You know what I mean? Like,
it wasn't natural? You think they were forcing it?
They were forcing it, one, and two, you have a core audience you're appealing to, which is, yeah, like the 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, but where the money is, WWE's always been smart, where the money is, again, people like me, I'm 31, I have the mind of a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
So you placate to me a little bit if you can. And now I got a 4-year-old watching with me. I don't want her hearing shit, bitch ass, you know.
Because she's going to be saying it around y'all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I don't even want her seeing blood.
That's your problem.
We'll see. Exactly. So we'll see. I didn't even pay for the pay-per-view, so.
Robert?
What up?
Welcome.
Which one?
Medlin.
All right.
Daniel says, no, Arnold, AEW has already been green-lit to do more edgy stuff.
That's great.
All right. Janela's going to be smoking on TV.
You said smart moves. How about Adam Hangman Page against Chris Jericho for your first ever AEW championship? Smart move. I predicted it last week.
I feel a little meh about it because I don't really want Jericho to be the champ, but I'll give him the champ and have, like, as a heel and have a babyface chasing him. And Hangman isn't that over with me. That's me. I mean, I don't know. I like Kenny Omega. I like the Bucks. I like Cody. I know a lot of people like Marty Scurll, but I was always like, I never got into him. Hangman, I feel like I've been exposed to more than Marty Scurll, but I think I would have liked Marty Scurll more than I like Hangman. And Hangman,
I'm missing something for Hangman.
Yeah. I'm missing something.
I echo his exact same sentiment. Like, I don't even have to speak.
Did the reaction in the audience when he won the – oh, you didn't see it. Won the Battle Royal. The reaction in the audience when Bret Hart introduced Hangman Page, did that sway y'all at all in any direction?
No. I was still like, okay, I want to give this guy a fair shot. I just haven't had the chance to be validated on my fair shot.
See, I'm not there as far as, like, I'm not shit on the guy because I don't know him. I don't know enough about him to be
You're indifferent.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm more indifferent, so I'm intrigued. Now, Jericho... I'll be honest with you, man. I don't like watching him wrestle anymore. Just because.
Oh.
No. And that's not that he can't go.
Is that just between the bells or is that just Jericho's presence on television, period?
Between the bells. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, aesthetically, it's like watching my dad wrestle. You know what I mean? It's not like. I don't like it, man. But I love everything before the bells and after the bells. That guy can sell better than. I want him to be like Ric Flair wrestling to where you shouldn't be wrestling anymore, but because you're so good on the microphone. Wrestle away, buddy. So that's fine. So aesthetically, that match to me does nothing. I'm like, okay, cool. But I know the build-up will be fine.
Yeah.
But think about it. It was too easy to be Kenny Omega versus, I don't know, some whoever else or whatever, John Moxley for the belt. It's too easy for that.
Yeah.
You got to build your brand. Yeah. You got to let them – you can't just hand it to them, which is why I don't like that Cody and Bucks won. I like that.
Oh.
So I prefer something different. But they earned it, so fuck it.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Ju?
kind of
before Ascension, the Ascension. Chris Jericho Ascension, is like Hogan now. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Now that could be a good or a bad thing, but I was done seeing Hogan when I was like 7. And he's still wrestling and I'm 31. So
depends. Between 95 and 05, Hogan
helped, smart.
And not even the wrestling aspect of him actually in ring. Hogan, being the established talent that he was, put over, let's see, Crow Sting,
Randy Orton,
he put over Randy Orton, he put over Brock Lesnar, He put over Goldberg on Nitro. He put over Lex Luger in 97 when he first won the title when the NWO was just starting.
He put over Michaels.
Put over the Giant. Put over Michaels. You know, they're
wow.
Kind of, sort of.
He put himself over.
Like I said before, he's the Jeff Jarrett of Impact, where he could be that heel that if you need to make a name for yourself, if you can get over on Jericho, if he can make you look, if y'all can make each other look good, y'all can make it, he can make anybody look good.
Which is why I'm okay if he winds up being the first champ somebody chase, because that fixes your problem. Oh, it has to be somebody that's established that's going to chase him. You can't just give it to Kenny right from the get-go. If they did give it to Kenny right from the get-go, I would have been happy, but okay, fine. Yeah, let's wait. Let's tease me a little bit. All right, fine. I'm okay with it.
How about your favorite moments overall from the pay-per-view?
Arnold, go ahead and go on this one, because I want to make sure that mine is going to be different.
It probably, I don't know if it will be or not, but I shared a video of it last night. The post-match Cody Dustin thing. That, oh man. And then seeing somebody make a thing, it was almost verbatim.
They spliced the old school
what Dusty did to Dustin. And it was just beautiful, man. That was, to me, like, if Dustin Rhodes' career would have ended right then and there, that would have been the perfect bow. Now, it would be, I know it's going to mean a lot to more of them to wrestle together and, you know, against the Bucks. So that's fine. But that, to me, was like, oh, tear in my eye. And I was like, hell yeah. That was my favorite moment.
How about you? You got a favorite? More than one? You can give one at a time. We keep bouncing off.
Okay. Well, I'll throw this one out. That's probably flying a little under the radar, and it might just be me marking out just for me marking out.
Brett. Okay.
No.
Ah!
Kylie getting super kicked her bow out of her hair.
Oh, man.
I have to admit, I am kind of happy seeing Smiley Kylie show up on here. I didn't think that I would mark out as much as I did, considering that I had more of a connection with the non-ROW guys. But sitting on the couch next to Porsche crying when Kylie actually made her appearance, like that kind of got me in the feels. But
for people watching, why is that?
Because she is homegrown. She's an ROW, one of Booker T's girls, and she's wrestled here and been the ROW women's champ, I think at least a couple of times, and she's really good. At least I really liked her when I saw her here, so her getting that come up was cool. But it's not the entrance that I said that I liked. What I said was the super spot. Kick where the bow came flowing out, because I think that was...
Brett kicked her, right?
Yeah, Britt Baker. Yeah,
Doctor
Britt Baker.
DMD.
Yeah, she, because it made for a funny visual, but it also made for a very serious end to what could have been an overly gimmicked match with basically Kong coming out. Kong, I felt, kind of stole a little bit of the thunder from Rose a little bit, because I thought Rose was going to be the monster in that match, and then she wasn't.
I remember before last week I said I want my mind changed about it.
Yeah, I don't think you did. Nope. But I think Britt and Kylie had really, really good showings.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that the other two weren't involved, I was like, oh shit, they have more in this division than what would have been a crutch.
Yes.
Like Kong could have been a crutch, but nah, they ain't going with that. They actually have two girls, at least, that aren't, you know, oh, just look at them because they're, you know, this and that. Like, they're legit. They're going to fight, and they're good. And then, boom, super kick.
Yeah, four of them there because Kong's signed.
Yeah.
Nyla Rose already been signed. Kylie Rae and Dr. Britt are already there. Mm-hmm. If you were to get two or three of the girls that were in that six-man tag, oh, man, the little chick that cosplayed as Freddie Mercury with the fake stash and everything. Oh, and she did that that We Will Rock You beat, and everybody, oh man, that's an under the radar moment for me, that her leading the pack, for in my opinion, her leading the pack on those six girls that when they walked out, if you've been around the block for a while, you know who Asia Kong was.
She's wrestled
WWF, but everybody else was pretty much a who. And then by the time that match was over, everybody was like, oh man,
her,
I love all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I specifically had my eye out on Miss Mercury.
The version that I watched exempted that. So
yeah. I got him.
I'll watch it later. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It was a good little match.
You have another moment, Arnold?
I have a moment that I actually disagree with. So it's going to be I watch the What Culture guys. They have a show called Ups and Downs. They do give it yep. give things up, yep. they give things down. This would be my only down. It was unnecessary. I get it for the, like, you know, the edgy stuff, but the Cody thing, smashing the Triple H. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Defend yourself, sir.
Classy, man. You got to be classy. That's not classy.
To their defense.
That's not classy.
The entire time, not a word. They did not throw the. They did not shoot the
first.
They
didn't say a word.
They didn't. They didn't strike first blood. WWE did. Hall of Fame ceremony. Peons, don't do that. Whoop whoop. That's stupid. If they would have never done that, 90% sure that we would have never gotten that segment. But for WWE to like actually like,
okay, bitch.
Exactly, and that's exactly yeah. why I did that. His okay, bitch, yeah. was Cody Brady yeah. having that whole thing.
No, and right. I get that.
And hopefully that's it.
And that, no, then if it was that, they won. AEW won. Well, won because you got, dude, you had WWE superstars tweeting about the fucking event.
Fuck tweeting. Zayn said it live on the air.
Dumbass. Yeah, you had them talking about it. Which is
the goal? Yeah, to have the roster looking at where does my contract expire?
Yeah, which goes into my Vince Russo take that I've been having. Fuck Vince Russo, I've had to take since the jump. They're in bed together. So anyway, I thought it was.
We're still talking about favorites.
I thought it was classless, but again, like you said, it was a reaction, not like.
Fuck class.
Of course.
I want the tea. This isn't ballet. This is pro wrestling. Please give me the drama. Give me the fucking, you know, throwing the shade and this and that. I loved it. I loved it. It was this is exactly what I wanted. Enough, and it was enough. Maybe if it was a little bit more, it would have been less classless. But it was like, all right, bitch. Yeah, I get it. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
A highlight for me watching it after the fact. I don't know since when it became the norm. But for quite some time now, I've been pretty fed up with three-man commentaries.
Okay.
Excalibur. When I watched the playback of All In,
for whatever reason of
Excalibur's commentary and All In, it just wasn't rocking me. Like, it was like...
I was not a fan of it at all.
That show... I was a fan of Excalibur.
Really?
He and JR should be the two-man group, and whatever that third guy is selling cars or whatever, he needs to be in the back doing interviews or doing something else because he felt like the third wheel. This felt like fucking Mauro Ranallo and Nigel McGuinness, and then you forget that fucking the black guy's there in the end. No.
Which is not anymore.
Even now, you forget that the girl that used to wrestle is in the end. No. That's my comparison. And the fact that JR got so comfortable within like an hour and started calling him X instead of Excalibur.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, he's already got a little chemistry with Excalibur going back and forth and them going back and forth. I love that. But Excalibur, for me, on commentary, especially after not being a fan the last show, he won me over.
I wish I could tell you who Excalibur reminded me of, but I can't remember the guy's name. So I'm gonna.
Reminds me of something too, but I don't.
I'm gonna try to describe the person that I think he is. And remember, in relation to commentary, I don't know anything about this guy in the ring. In relation to commentary, he reminds me of the guy that was in ROH. That he was a wrestler previously.
Carino.
There you go. He reminds me of Carino on the mic. In fact, when they cut to the picture of him and he was like a luchador, I'm like,
that wild not, one Carino had like, the mask for a minute.
Yeah, I thought that was Carino because it sounded like Carino to me and his cadence sounded like Carino. And I was like, who the fuck is Excalibur? Who is this guy? Oh, that's the guy that I've been liking.
The whole broadcast, I was trying to figure out who the fuck he was. Yeah. So I was like, what the fuck is Excalibur? But that's fine. Honestly, and this damn near sacrilege, but I wasn't a big fan of JR.
JR, it was weird hearing JR a bit out of place because he was not the play-by-play. Yeah. Because Excalibur was doing a good job of play-by-play.
He was doing
JR
color.
Was dropping a little bit more on the color. He not just color, but the reaction commentary.
Yeah,
the little snippets
just,
that you would remember if you were an Attitude Era fan. Like, this is where JR would say something like this. And then that's exactly what he did.
Which I kind of understand. Because play-by-play is harder than color. Color is more fun. And if anybody's earned the right to not do play-by-play anymore,
and have some fun.
It's JR. Mm-hmm. So I get that.
And there's a 1-2 punch. Yeah. That's the right. The left hand is, again, another new roster that he's not familiar with. The first couple of shows that he did with New Japan with Josh Barnett, the chemistry was there with those two guys, especially when Jay White damn near hurt JR and Barnett was about to rape him a new asshole. But in those first couple of events, JR was you had to get used to him because he wasn't used to calling that style of matches, pronouncing Japanese names, knowing their moves. Because JR would know a lot of moves.
Yeah.
But and now again with another new roster, another new set of guys, another new moveset that he's got to pick up and find a rhythm of. So
she likes boats. Example A. Okay, Daniel has something here in the live chat. If y'all thought that was petty, then you must have really hated Moxley throwing an AA on Omega off the poker chips. You think that's a message to Cena doing an attitude adjustment?
No. They called it as a fucking DVD, Death Valley Driver. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right.
If he did a fucking pedigree, I would know. But no, he didn't.
Daniel Price says Carino's in WWE.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware.
Arnold,
what's up?
What's your match of the week?
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't be wearing the same shirt 2 weeks in a row for nothing.
You Cody, stink like a motherfucker.
I know. I didn't need to wash this damn thing. Cody and Dustin, man, it was beautiful. It was like I thought it was gonna go on too long because I felt like it was starting to get too long. And it just got better. It just got better, man. It was so good. So good. It had elements of WWF.
Yeah.
WCW.
Yes.
Ruthless Aggression.
Mm-hmm.
ROH. WWE. And whatever AEW was going to be. It had everything in one match. Sands of Blood, which again, probably wasn't on purpose because that motherfucker was bleeding like crazy.
He hit the wrong nerve at the wrong spot.
Yeah. It was Eddie Guerrero style.
It was a blade job.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? It was a blade job because when he first did it, you could see a perfect line right here. It was a blade job. But how much of a blade job it was?
Ooh. It could have been short, but if it was deep.
Yeah. He got the right spot. He got himself a good crimson mask.
Yeah.
That's why I said you named off.
Don't mind me. I'm sending my brother a picture of my chest.
You named off everything except for NWA.
NWO?
That was an NWA style blade job. Yeah. That was an NWA style, which their father became famous in, NWA style feud with the heart and fighting with the emotion and damn near blood feud. That, like, all that stuff you said is true. You just missed one three-letter acronym.
NWO is NWA is nothing to me.
Yeah.
NWA to me is Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. And
Yeah.
You know.
But, I mean, that's a part of their lineage as a family. That's a part of a lineage. It's part of their family, and it makes sense. That's where that element came from because they would have the Crimson Mask, Flair, and Dusty. Both.
Oh God! Yeah.
Both. That's where they get that shit from.
You mentioned earlier that you saw the spliced video clip of Dusty Rhodes with the Natural.
Beautiful.
Spliced in with Cody gets Natural. I never saw it. I saw it on my feed. I couldn't watch it.
Oh, I almost wish I didn't.
Being in the audience, Scott the Scott looked at me and was like, "Really?" After the hug. I was crying. Not sniffles, not like I'm wiping a tear in my eye. I was bawling. I was fucking bawling.
Dude.
I'm not going to mention any spots. I'm not going to mention any of the spots. I'm just going to say this. We watch pro wrestling to enjoy ourselves, to entertain ourselves. More importantly, we watch it to get a feeling out of us.
Yeah,
there's even great indie wrestling spot fest monkey matches are awesome because they're exciting and we get excited by it.
Yep.
But there's very few matches that tell a story so well that you cry.
Yeah.
Okay.
This, you said that there were things in this show that topped All In. I didn't think I could get any more emotional than I did last year when Cody won the same fucking belt his dad wore. This topped it.
Okay. Okay.
This is my match of the week pick.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
This match is also up there as match of the week pick for me. But I said this before we started recording. I said it on the same day when we were going back and forth on Messenger, where I was like, man, I don't know which match is better between these two. Man, I don't know. The other is the tag match.
Which tag match?
Lucha Brothers versus
Young Bucks.
That was tag team superiorness.
the thing that kind of does it for me, and it's funny because can you bring me a bottle of water? Thank you. The thing that you called me out for on this was, aren't you the story guy? Shouldn't you like Cody versus Dusty a little bit better? And I'm like, yeah. But thank you. But god damn, the fucking spots, the back and forth, the flippy dippies, the craziness, the counters for counters. Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ, that match was impeccable. You put that closer to the mic so they could hear the pouring. Yeah.
You have good pouring skills.
Yes, you do. It sounded nice. It was amazing, man. While the brother blood feud match had great story and elicited great emotion, I think there was, I don't want to say something lacking, because it wasn't lacking between the belts as far as the wrestling goes, but I think this match, wrestling wise, athleticism wise, spot wise, topped it. So what am I gonna go with? Am I gonna go with story, or am I gonna go with just fucking art in the middle of the ring? And I don't know. Like, one is column A, the other is column B, and they're both fucking
apples and
amazing.
Oranges.
Yes, they're both fucking amazing. So, man, I'm not sure which one's my match of the week, and I hope
you guys help
give me some clarity.
I'm going to help you because you mentioned before the show,
bias,
that by very little, well, before, I had to bring up the Cody stuff because you had the Lucha Bros as the Young Bucks as your match of the week.
Okay.
So you got oranges, I got apples.
Uh-huh.
You, Arnold, we're making a strong case that we don't have one match of the week.
It's the rest of radio ASMR with beer pouring. Sorry.
You might have two match of the week picks.
Yeah, and I can't choose because of his exact same argument. They're two different matches. Although one had everything, it didn't have the spot fest, which was this one was. But this had the spot fest and technical wrestling. It was like watching Ricochet and Aleister Black versus, I don't know, the other spot guys from WWE. and watching the Steiner brothers versus fucking, I don't know, the Quebecers back in the day. You know what I mean? It was like great tag team matches.
You that far behind.
Oh, I can. it was watching just perfect technical tag. Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect technical tag team wrestling. And Spot Monkey Fest.
Yeah.
At the same damn time. And fucking Triple A. That's my shit. That's why I love wrestling. I got into wrestling because of being in Mexico and just turning on the TV and seeing. Yeah, you say Pentagon. Octagon was my fucking favorite when I was a kid. It was a guy who looked like a fucking ninja, but he was Mexican. Fucking all these people. Mascara Sagrada. Juventud Guerrero. Killed a man 2 weeks ago. Fucking every fucking, like, everybody. Rey Mysterio Jr., who killed the man 2 years ago. Killer wrestling. It was like, that's the reason why I love wrestling. Lucha is life. And it translates to English as wrestling is life. So, yeah, dude.
What is your pick?
Both. I will not pick one of the two.
Nope. Well.
That's in my head. Kill me.
Looks like we're going to have to do a little mix-up here.
Rochambeau?
I need my nuts.
First,
I'm done.
Pentagon and Phoenix against the Young Bucks.
Okay.
Match of the year worthy. 1, 2, 3
Boy. Boy.
Thumbs down. Cody versus Dustin. Match of the year list candidate. 1, 2, 3
2.
Fuck.
Perfection.
Listeners, help us out here. Do we follow suit with All Elite Championship Wrestling and go double or nothing, have both the matches on our match of the year? Or do you guys think that there's a consensus that one's better than the other? You tell us which one of the two or both. We tally up the votes. We'll figure it out conclusively next
Should
week.
Should be a match of the year candidate. Not necessarily the match of the year because we're just halfway through the year.
Yeah. Okay. Do either one or both of these matches deserve to be match of the year?
Candidate.
Candidates. And we'll figure out next week which one of the two go on the list.
And all three of us just voted both of these fucking matches. So,
so as of now, guess what the fuck I'm doing?
Yeah, you're making a post on Facebook.
No, I'm putting them both on our list.
Oh, you son of a
bitch. Oh, I almost wore that you just made the list here. Damn, I should have worn it.
Oh, man.
Live chat, I'm looking at you. What do you guys think?
Let me know. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. Octagon y Octagoncito.
Yes. And Mascarita Sagrada.
Hell bros. Pimpanella.
What you know about Pimpy?
Pimpy. What you know about Pimpy? What you know about Pimpy?
Man.
You don't know nothing from Pimpy from Lucha Underground.
No, I know.
You would just know from Triple A.
You got 110 episodes to catch up on.
Yeah, I gave up.
Yeah. Danga says, throw them both on the brackets, tournament style.
Dude, they're on for me because both of them tickled my pickle in different ways.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Arnold, your anticipation level for Adam Cole,
Hector,
Johnny Gargano, the rematch.
Oh, don't move on to NXT.
Oh, yeah, we got a couple more things.
We got a couple things to talk about from AEW.
I wanted to ask y'all a question. What was your biggest disappointment?
Oh, thank you.
Double or nothing.
You remember earlier I said I had one nit to pick? This is mine. God damn! They need a fucking better audio guy or better audio equipment or better audio setup or something. Fuck, like it sounded atrocious, man.
DZW or something.
God damn it. It was so bad.
How were y'all watching it? Did they order it live on cable or were y'all streaming through the Fight app? Or
no, we ordered it on regular old-fashioned pay-per-view, DirecTV.
The feed that I saw had no issues. Had no issues. It just didn't have like thump.
It wasn't clear. Okay, I'll tell you what I heard. It wasn't clear when the music was playing for an entrance for somebody.
Yeah.
All you heard was bass. You couldn't really make out that is this a song or is
I heard that in the beginning of the Rumble because they didn't know what they were doing. But by the time that main show started,
no, I didn't. No, hear it was the same. By the time Jericho got out there and made his entrance, I didn't hear Fozzy. I just heard. Yeah. And it wasn't Fozzy. I didn't hear fucking Fozzy. I didn't hear Judas. I couldn't make it out. And on top of that, whenever somebody was ring announcing or cutting a promo with the in-ring mics, it did not sound good. It sounded too garbled. When Pac was trying to cut a promo. Ooh.
You sure Pac? Because Pac wasn't there.
He was there in the that's right. No, who was it?
Get your life straight.
Was it MJF?
MJF.
It was MJF. It was MJF. Yeah, he was cutting a promo. And, it sounded too garbled. Like, they needed to fix the levels on the actual microphone. And it just, it wasn't good. And what I understood is that maybe the person that is doing the audio, in charge of the audio, was, like, used to doing it inside an arena and not thinking of what it would sound in an arena over the telly. I think that's where the disconnect was. WWE, everything sounds perfect. You put on a CD of WWE's entrance music, it sounds just the same way if you're watching it live on Monday Night Raw when somebody's making the entrance. Yep. It still sounds just as good. It doesn't sound like it's in an arena picking up by the arena microphones and coming over the telly.
And
that's something they could improve on.
Yeah, I mean, that was their test pilot.
That's my whole point. Like, WWE gets it right. Yeah, they've had fucking 45 years of practice.
I know.
AEW's had one.
And I say this is a nit to pick.
WWE's gotten it right since the 80s. Like, so I get it.
Again, almost 40 years.
But if they're the bar, then you had to have already met that on your start. But that's not mine. And I don't even know if I should be saying this.
You're going to say it anyway. Go for it.
My biggest disappointment was the main event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that match was so underwhelming that John Moxley saved the pay-per-view at the end for me as far as like it taking a nosedive towards the end.
Oh, I don't think it was a nosedive.
No, not a nosedive, but as it been like a – it was like Jericho and Triple H going on after Hogan and The Rock to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what that was for me. I was like,
it wasn't Orton, on the level of Orton,
Triple H going on after fucking Undertaker, Shawn Michaels to me.
Yeah. Okay.
It was like, oh, nice. You know what I mean? It felt like a Monday Night Raw main event.
I think for me, this match was. I went in there with open eyes because remember, we had this match last year and I couldn't go to Japan to watch it. So I got to see that match.
Oh, yeah.
I can easily say that this match was better than the one in Japan. There was a little bit of lagging in the Japan match, but that's because Jericho was taking a little bit too much time at points being comedic to get the reaction from the Japanese fans. This was Jericho's attempt at being an independent wrestler, not so much a sports entertainer.
Yeah.
The thing that weighed me down a little bit was after Cody and the Young Bucks won, regardless of what my prediction was last week, I kind of felt like, you know what? It would be too obvious for Kenny to win.
Yeah.
And I was just waiting for Jericho to win. But I didn't know when he was going to win because I didn't I avoided the video on YouTube of Jericho's new finisher.
Which
was just a quick back elbow. Quick spinning back elbow. I forgot about this. So I didn't know how it was going to end. So the fact that I didn't know what I was looking for, at some point I was like, man, I think I'm ready for this to be over. Seven matches? How the fuck is this 4 hours? Yeah. You know,
it didn't
feel like but at some point I'm like, okay,
Daniel reminded me of something else in the live chat. He said Jericho botched the first DDT from the One Wing Angel badly. He did.
I saw that. He actually tried to redo the spot, which again, that's one nit that I've had before.
Yeah,
if you miss a spot,
move on.
Oh, maybe come back to it later when I've forgotten about it, but don't try it 30 seconds later or 20 seconds later. That's exactly what they did.
Bottom line though, I agree with newcomer in the live chat, Hector Andres.
Ah,
Hector.
Otro, hola. Damn.
Yes, I agree with you. I need more AEW. I do.
Yeah, my final thing was about this is it's just AEW. WWE is WWE. I'm going to follow it by answering the question basically on Tuesday morning or Monday night. AEW put on 4 hours of amazing matches. Say what I want to say about the main event, it was still better than a WWE main event. They set the bar for the week.
Okay.
You sure about that? Just last week we added Styles versus Rollins from WWE.
Yeah, listen.
On our match of the year list.
For the week, they set the bar.
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw was an hour and 10 minutes before we got their first fucking match of the night. The WWE is fucking scrambling.
And it's funny because
they're doubling down on WWE-ness.
Right after Saturday night, right after Double or Nothing, one of the topics of conversation amongst all of us was, fuck, Raw really needs to bring it this Monday. I hope they really lit a fire under our ass. Monday was more of the same, if not worse.
It's a holiday show.
Monday sucked.
It's a holiday show.
Yeah, it still sucked.
What about Tuesday?
Tuesday wasn't that good.
Wasn't that good either? Okay. I'm going to remind you of something that you and I saw when we were watching the documentary of the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Where Roman was shocked that he got booed out of the building.
Yeah.
And Michael Hayes said, hey, we're not changing our plans for one town or one city. Yeah. It's for the world.
Yeah.
So the way they are, if we're going to see any changes, it sure is fucking happening right now.
No.
Yeah.
They have to lay down their cards. They have to put up every single little domino piece.
Yeah.
When they're ready to make an impact, They're gonna press that first domino and then blah 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 blah. But right now, they're going to Saudi. They're gonna do what they've already planned on doing. They're gonna cash out, and then after that, we get Stomping Ground, a new pay per view, another name,
it's then typical July bad pay per view.
Hey, what's WWE gonna do? Yeah, we're gonna get Baron Corbin against Seth Rollins for the Universal
title. Just stop. So yeah,
so let's bring it up. I asked you a question. Anticipation level. Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, rematch, NXT Men's Championship, TakeOver 25.
On paper alone, 9.
No. You've been blank on these NXT episodes.
I'm at a 9 because I can't be at a 10 because I've been trying to watch NXT for the past month, and I've not finished one episode. I feel like they start strong, and then somewhere they just like start throwing a bunch of shit at me where I'm like, okay, no. And that and I feel like the commercial breaks are longer than ever. Normally, the commercial breaks are like one commercial and that's it. I feel like they're getting longer on me, and I don't like that. But two, it's been hard for me to keep my attention span on NXT lately, which sucks because that's where the talent is.
That's AEW's primary competition for me.
Yeah, definitely. They have the same colors. So, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Almost.
On paper alone, and just seeing the little bit of shit that I've seen, I can't wait for this match because I wish their 2 out of 3 falls match was just one fall. Yeah, so I can't wait for this match. I think it's going to be great. I just saw something that kind of made my boner go down a little bit about it, though. It says that Gargano is working on a bum knee. Mm. It just seems like every good WWE guy is getting hurt right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
So we are getting Corbin with the belt. Gable, the anticipation level for Adam Cole against Johnny Gargano, the rematch.
On paper, this sounds like it would be a 9. But I haven't really been watching NXT. So because of that, I'm at an 8.
Okay.
So I almost verbatim said the same thing Arnold did. Okay. And now the reasoning for me, the reason why it's down because I haven't been watching NXT isn't because I just don't know what's going on, or I tried to watch it and I it doesn't keep my attention. The reason why it's down because I haven't been watching it is my only context is, oh, this is a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I wish that those two extra points between an 8 and a 10 would have been filled with great story. I don't know that great story, so since it's a rematch, on paper, it should be badass. I'm going to give it an 8. You.
What are one of the few things that we say about NXT?
NXT TV, meh. Takeovers, whole fuck.
I'm at a 9.
Okay.
I don't think we need any more context other than that. The promos help. Adam Cole's like, hey, man, if this was a first one, if it wasn't a 2 out of 3 falls match, I'd be wearing the belt right now. And then Johnny makes fun of his math because he doesn't know math. The tag matches between Cole and between Undisputed Era against Matt Riddle and Johnny Gargano, fun.
Yeah.
I'm at a 9. I have to have Adam Cole winning this. Adam Cole should have won this from the beginning. I think it was too for the sudden switch from heel to face out of nowhere for Gargano
because Tampa got hurt.
It was a mistake to give it to Gargano that soon. They should have given it to Cole. Have Gargano chase a little bit to reestablish his faciness, and then have him win. I would have had Adam Cole win the first time and have Gargano win this weekend. Now it's backwards. Since Gargano already has it, I want Cole to have it. They've been hyping it up for a couple of months now that this is the year that Undisputed Era has all the gold.
Yeah.
See, and here's Exhibit A.
I feel like Vince McMahon fucked Johnny Gargano up for me this year by calling him up and then saying, well, I mean, it wasn't his fault he got back on because fucking Ciampa went down. But Gargano's not supposed to be there right now.
Yeah.
He's literally not. So because he called him up and then this and that,
it wasn't an official call up. It was, hey, the Super Bowl's going on.
No. They all went up there.
Okay.
Aleister, Ricochet, Ciampa, Gargano. Ciampa got hurt. They said there's no Ciampa without Gargano. Get your ass back down there. But all right, we're going to give you the belt as a consolation prize.
Okay.
Who you got winning?
Adam Cole.
Gargano.
Okay. I hope you're right.
I think it's too soon to take it off of him.
That's why I hope
and
you're right.
If they do take it off of him, then he's just 205. Well, that and like he, other than the fact that he won the belt,
no, he's gonna be running around behind all the other morons going after the 24/7 title.
Other than the fact that he won the belt, he's been the perennial lovable loser. Yeah. I don't want him to lose again.
Yeah.
Undisputed Era, Street Profits, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. The Forgotten Sons, four-team ladder match for the vacant NXT Tag Team Championships. Abel, anticipation level.
Only based off of paper.
You don't got to repeat that anymore. We got that very clearly. I haven't been watching.
Yeah.
Not anticipation. Nine. What's keeping you from the 10? Is it the fact that you haven't been, you don't know the story of this?
And that and the Forgotten Sons, I kind of forget about them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're agreed.
That muscly guy freaks me out.
Oh, Gunner?
Yeah. He's like.
Oh, yeah, he's from TNA.
Yeah.
I'm at a 9 too.
Okay. Let's meet the teams again.
Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Undisputed Era. Street Profits. Forgotten Sons.
So the Viking experience is officially gone.
They've yeah.
They I saw it when they relinquished the title, but then like, fucking
Street Profits Street came Profits out and won like, a rematch, and then in that rematch, that the
that's whole where everything went canceled.
So, yeah, so the Vikings
they vacated the title because they're on main roster, and we haven't seen them for 2 weeks on the main roster. Great.
Because there's no current.
Oh shit! Champion. We haven't seen them on the main roster in 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, we duh. Haven't. So it's like, hey, come on up to the main
an
roster.
An hour and 10 minutes of don't even get talking. You could put them in there.
Don't even get a farewell match.
Yeah, or a hello
match. No, they had their farewell match. It was against Blackashay. But then WWE decided to keep going.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Stupid. If that's your real name, that's what the Privacy Roberts is. I love ladder matches. That's why I always give the money to Mega 10. No matter who the fuck is in it, it could all be fucking Bret Hart. I don't care. But Bret Hart's is boring. What's it called? I like boring sometimes.
Shut the fuck
but
up.
I was Shawn Michaels guy.
God damn.
Anyway,
you go suck a dick. Not anymore. His wife's back.
Just because it's a ladder match. I'm high on it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Forgotten Sons. And by the way, is it three? Is it two? They said which is it? Like
it's just fucking, it's just the two. But not TNA guy. But chances are TNA guy will be roaming around.
He's gonna be walking around.
Which
yeah.
we have to ask the same question about Undisputed Era. Which two is it gonna be?
It's well, we'll get to that. It's gonna be O'Reilly and Fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
not Strong.
No, Roddy Strong is fighting somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. I didn't know that. Yeah. Oops.
On paper.
Because of who I want to win, I love the Undisputed Era. But who I think it should go to, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
Wrong.
Who I think it will go to, America guys. The MAGA guys.
Forgotten Sons.
Yes. Wrong. My anticipation level for this match is at a 7.
Okay.
Why? It's at a 7, number one. The Forgotten Sons are in it. They still haven't won me over. Nice little Don't Tread on Me Metallica riff in their theme song, but that's not enough. Why do we still have Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch tag teaming on NXT when Oney Lorcan defeated Cedric Alexander on 205 to be the new torchbearer of 205? All this commingling, it's bad enough we got it on Raw and SmackDown when they don't even know what the fucking wild card is that they're doing. But now you're trying to like screw things up with the other brands too. Like, like you need to figure out what you're doing, where you're going, and then fucking go.
Try watching an episode of Worlds Collide. Oh my fucking God.
So it's either Undisputed or Street Profits for me. Because of that, I'm at about a 7. Just Undisputed and Street Profits alone in that match are gonna anchor that.
Okay.
Who I have winning? You pick the Americans, the Forgotten Sons. I'm picking Street Profits, man.
I hope. I changed Street Profits. I totally changed my answer on what I hope. I hope the Street Profits win because they've won.
They're organically over, dude.
Exactly. Not Montez Ford, but the other guy. That guy's been in there forever.
He's had like six different teammates. Yeah. He's never found his groove. Now, this feels like it's himself turned up to 11, and it's fucking working.
I love it.
Don't fuck with it.
I hate it.
Don't go to the main roster and have Vince like put every finger in every hole.
Don't become crime time.
No, and, yeah.
Don't become crime
Thank
time.
Thank you.
Brooklyn.
I hope it would be them as well, Street Profits, but I think it's going to be Undisputed Era because they're all going to be draped in gold.
I'm not hating that either.
I'm not hating it, but I think that's where they're going.
NXT TakeOver Undisputed continues. Roderick Strong one-on-one against Matt Riddle.
Bro.
Okay.
What's your anticipation level, Arnold?
I'm at a bro. I'm not at a bro because I haven't seen the buildup, but I'm at a bro.
Okay.
I think that equates to about a 7.
Bro.
So I'm at a
in his
mode. I'm at a
how bro are you?
Bro.
Bro.
Yeah, oh, you're at a 5?
Bro?
Yeah, okay. 5-4.
Yeah, I guess. Where are you at?
Man, Riddle's matches, dude, have been consistently getting better. Consistently getting better. So I'm at a bro.
Nine.
There's guys where even if he's falling on a couple of aspects, his partner will pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
Technically speaking, how many bad matches has Roderick Strong been in?
Counting the last one, none.
The gripe I always had with Roddy is that he wasn't the most charismatic. Yeah. But and
now
in,
he is.
In Undisputed Era, they're giving him a little bit of the rub.
Yeah, he's borrowing some.
Yeah, he's borrowing charisma from the Undisputed Era. To collectively, Undisputed Era has a lot of charisma.
Yeah.
But individually, that's not always the case.
Who you got winning?
Bro.
No,
I've got Undisputed sweeping this, man. Yeah, I've got Strong winning this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got Strong winning.
Stro.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Bro. Bro Stro.
Shut the fuck up, Arlo. He's had too much to drink.
No.
Tyler Breeze getting a shot at Velveteen Dreams North American Championship.
Really?
Yes.
Nine. Holy shit.
Dude.
Really?
You'd be out of 10 if you watched that promo.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man.
All
it's
right.
So good.
Taking your word for it, 9.5. Why not? Okay.
Yeah.
10.
Something. We only got fucking one promo each from Cody and Dustin before this fucking pay-per-view, and look where it's at. We just needed one. You know, it's a damn shame because I really wanted to see Dijakovic against Velveteen. Their stuff back and forth.
Torn meniscus.
Yeah. So he gone.
He's gone.
So Tyler Breeze against Velveteen. Tyler Breeze was Velveteen before Velveteen got there.
Exactly. That, and that's what that promo was all about.
Yeah. So I'm at a 10.
What superpower is Velveteen going to steal from Tyler Breeze?
They're using the phone. Yeah, he has stolen something from everybody. Well, I don't know if he stole anything from Matt Riddle.
Tyler Breeze is like underground, like fucking stamina, man. He can go with his matches, dude.
Okay.
So give me 20, 25 minutes, maybe 20, of Tyler Breeze actually holding his own against Velveteen, and Velveteen looking at him like Thanos was looking at Captain America. It's like
the power to wear funny leggings.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Furry leggings.
I've always hated that. That's the what was always my one big gripe. The
furry boots.
It reminds me of John Morrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I fucking hated that.
Who you got winning?
Velveteen.
Io Shirai against Shayna Baszler one on one. Asenayo. NXT Women's Championship. Abel.
7. Okay. That sounds like it could be good, but I don't know if they've invested enough into her. At least from the last time I've seen her, there hasn't been a whole lot.
All the NXT episodes that I've seen, they are
okay.
Like they're trying to build her as this crazy bitch. Like basically, like she's fucking like she's really pissed off. So she's okay, not crazy bitch, mad bitch. Like she's fucking. She attacks them while they were training. You know what I mean? Like just random shit like that because she's all upset, and I like that. Because she's not one-dimensional of like, oh, Kairi Sane just happened to be here. You know what I mean?
Okay.
No, she is like, bitch.
She likes semen.
I'm a fucking, yeah.
What?
She, yeah. Kairi Sane loves semen.
Okay. Yo-ho-ho.
Yeah.
Yar.
Dude, it's my anticipation level is 7, 8. a generous 8 because I haven't watched. You know what I mean? But what I've seen is good. And Shayna, she has not put on a bad match since the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah,
they've all been great. I'm kind of burnt out on her and the other two girls. But I think they're going to push her strong until it's time for her to go up.
You're burnt out on Baszler?
Yeah.
In NXT, just for sake, in NXT, I'm getting burnt out of Asians. We had Asuka win the title.
You did not.
Hear me out. We had Asuka win the title. We had fucking Kairi Sane win the title twice. The
views of the Houston Wrestling Radio podcast.
Kairi Sane won the title twice, and now I got Io Shirai. You know, you had a decent chance with Bianca Belair. You had a decent chance with Mia Yim. You know, but
she's an Asian.
But she doesn't come across that way because she's in like baggy pants and the rap thug and the hat to the side. Uh-huh. Kyrie's a fucking pirate. Fucking Io's got the fucking all these colors. Asuka's fucking Asuka. Come on, but
she's
seriously,
more bluff than Asian.
There you go. She's more she's more crypt than Asian. You know,
Scott just came into the chat. He said, "Hey, have y'all talked about AEW?" Yes, bitch.
No, we got Scott's attention now. His ears must have burned when I said I got burned out of Asians.
Oh, like Asians?
Yeah, where? Asians. What about these Asians? I'm at a 5 for this match, and I really don't want Io Shirai to win this match. I think there's better. I think there's better talent on the roster for Shayna to drop the belt to. Because I don't want it to get to the point where I'm burnt out of Shayna also. I'm almost there. The fact that she still keeps putting on good matches, but at some point she has to drop it to somebody. Fuck, I just don't want her to drop it to Io. Because I don't – they need some good heels for Io to defend the belt against.
The other two little Baszlers?
Good heels?
Good heels. Do you want to see Io – co-main event, a takeover against one of the two horsewomen? Exactly.
Bianca. Yeah.
I'd say besides her. Who else? Who else is there besides her?
I don't know. I haven't been watching.
Conti.
You see?
Oh, no. The Laker chick who wrestles in damn near lingerie.
Ah, Vanessa Bourne.
Vanessa Bourne.
You think Laker? She's ready?
I don't know. I haven't been watching.
Aaliyah, she's been there since fucking
high school. What about Zeta Zong?
She got dismissed like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Zeta? Yeah, she got released like a year and a half
Scott, ago. Yeah, I did hear Asians that got excited, but then you talk about WWE, so man.
They're watered down. They're Koreans.
God damn. Oh, come on. Fucking Chris.
Oh, man. You heard the shit he said earlier? Who you got winning?
Baszler.
Yeah.
Io.
And for fuck's sake, you should have just called up Io with fucking Kyrie and made them the team that they already were instead of plugging Asuka in the whole thing.
I agree.
That's another flaw. That's which why
we haven't even seen that team in 2 weeks.
Dark matched it after Raw, after SmackDown last week.
God damn it.
All right, Paper Boys. Overall anticipation level for NXT TakeOver 25.
Actually, I'm at an 8.
I love this.
I'm at an 8.
I'm at an 8 too.
I'm at a 5.
You bitch.
Because I haven't watched and I don't know.
You're not invested.
So what that means?
Reina Gonzalez.
Ah, sí, from the Valley.
¿Está lista, güey, o no?
No.
Te estoy diciendo, reclámame con una que vale la meta, güey.
One, Rhea Ripley.
I just complained about cross streaming your peas. Yeah, nah. NXT UK right now. I'm going over their women's division.
Dude,
Jazzy Gabbert with Ginny.
Before technically, the way this format works, this should have been on for this week. So match of the week candidate. Walter Pete Dunne fucking 2. Better than part 1. Dude.
We that talked about that last week.
They did, but technically the way we run this format, we should have talked about it this week.
Okay.
And that
okay.
was better than half the matches on the AEW card. That match is
fucking
phenomenal.
I don't know if I go that far.
Boy, you
if wrong. AEW didn't happen, that would have been my match of the week.
No, but we already talked about it last week. And your pick doesn't matter, obviously, because you motherfucker got 2 match of the year candidates on this fucking show. So shut the fuck up. Overall, you're at a 5.
Yeah, because I know it's going to be a 10. That's the way takeovers work. Anytime you're like, man, I don't think it's going to be good, you're like, oh, Scott. My God.
Oh, Hispanic girls, I'm back in.
Hi, Papa.
Bailey's Hispanic.
Bailey, there you go, yeah.
Are any of these matches possible of being on your top three all-time NXT TakeOver matches?
Oh, shit, I forgot my homework.
All-time for NXT TakeOver?
Mm-hmm. Matches. Any of these matches you think could make that list or have the potential?
The only one that might be a sleeper would be Cole versus Gargano.
Yeah, yeah, because it's a one fall.
Maybe.
Since you didn't do your homework, I put you on the spot.
Okay.
Top three all-time, since we're celebrating the 25th TakeOver. Your top three TakeOver matches of all the times.
Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate.
Mm-hmm, from Chicago.
Bailey, Sasha.
Which one?
That's a fucking tough
Arrival?
One. That's a tough no. one. No.
Our Arrival?
No.
What was it?
Brooklyn 1.
You're Brooklyn. Talking either Brooklyn 1.
The Hurricane or Bailey 1.
Or the Iron rematch on Respect. Yeah. The 30-minute Iron Woman match where they made little Izzy cry.
Yeah. No, Brooklyn, just because of how organic it was and the feel of everything, how it, just the match was captivating from beginning to end.
What's your third?
Oh, man.
That's what she said.
Oh, stupid. No. My number one, Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura in Dallas. I have not seen a match in the WWE probably better than since then.
Okay.
Before you chime in,
okay.
Hector Reyes, Zayn versus Nakamura,
yes.
Alistair versus Gargano, and this motherfucker had Cesaro versus Sami Zayn from Arrival, which
Wrong.
You pointed out
me.
For me.
That was me.
That was technically not a takeover. That was their first night special. That was
Arrival.
Because I first said, hey, Chris, actually, you're wrong by saying it's not from a takeover because you said, hey, that's not from a takeover. So I looked up the match, and the first video that says NXT TakeOver Arrival. So I said, hey, actually, it is from a takeover. Then I looked at it again.
Look at Wikipedia.
It wasn't a takeover. No, it was just NXT Arrival.
The first takeover was TakeOver.
TakeOver, yeah.
So that match didn't count.
Yeah.
Dylan Robert Howland III.
There goes one of mine.
I know.
Dylan Robert Howland III. Zayn Nakamura from Dallas. Sasha Bailey from Chicago.
Huh?
I think he got that wrong.
Yes.
Brooklyn. Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream from War Games.
Yes.
God, that was amazing.
Jeremy Clinton, Neville versus Sami Zayn from Our Evolution.
Okay.
I thought that was the wrong one.
No, Our Evolution was a takeover.
Oh, it was Cesaro. Cesaro
no, yeah. Neville versus Zayn.
That one was good.
Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne from TakeOver. Aleister Velveteen from the first War Games.
Yes.
Elias, Zayn versus Nakamura from Dallas. Bate versus Dunne TakeOver.
Yeah.
Undisputed Era, AOP and Roddy. And Sanity from the first War Games.
That match was a mess, but it was a beautiful mess. We were all there. It
was good.
Gorgeous.
Abel, what are your three?
Okay, well, since it got proven that that's not a takeover, I guess Zayn versus Cesaro needs to get kicked out. So fuck.
That was our match of the year winner from 2013?
I believe so.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't the winner. I think it was
2015.
15.
So,
okay. Well,
no,
whatever.
That was the year of 13. Cena and AJ.
It was on the list.
Yeah,
I remember it was on the list.
Definitely on the list.
So if I can't put that one on there, I'll have to substitute something else. So let me move on, and I'll circle back around
I'm
to this
at
one.
Posters.
Sasha versus Bailey, the one that should have been the one that should have been the match of the year, and even now that I think about it, that should have been match of the year over over the Styles. Lucha Underground.
Don't let your roommates talk you out of a bad decision.
All right, and then. I gotta show a little bit of love to Gargano Ciampa. Three?
Which
The Last Man Standing?
Yes. The one where they pulled up the ring and they got all crazy.
That one was good.
There was a lot of callbacks to the first one and the second one. I thoroughly enjoyed
the
that one.
The one in New Orleans was two, right?
Yeah. No, the one in New Orleans was three.
The one in New Orleans was one
just for him to get back into NXT.
That wasn't New Orleans.
Number
two was New Orleans. Number one was to get it back in NXT. Number two was for the – no? Huh. No, you're right.
Keep going.
You're right.
No and, right. Okay, so
I don't know why.
I may have to circle back and then say
– I'm missing one. I feel like there's one that should be like, oh,
that
my God.
That should be like obvious, yeah. You know, but yeah, I'm not
there's
sure.
There's been so many fucking takeovers.
Man, so somebody already said it. I don't want to say this, but I'm leaning towards it now, which is Velveteen versus Alistair.
That was a great match.
But, man, I really wanted to say Cesaro versus Zayn. But
it wasn't a takeover, yeah.
Yeah.
You, Christopherson?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's like funny. It's funny because most of the match of the year candidates or picks are for matches that I've seen in person.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start off with Sasha versus Bayley from Full Sail, the 30-minute Iron Woman match that I thought story-wise was better.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Match might have been better in Brooklyn. Story was better in the Iron Woman.
The Able route.
Nakamura versus Zayn from Dallas.
Okay.
Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne from Chicago. Honorable mentions. Fuck. Black and Dream from our first War Games here.
Yeah.
And I would also say War Raiders against Ricochet and Aleister Black. Oh, that just happened really WrestleMania weekend. If I'd go one more, I would actually say
Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch.
I would actually say the second takeover match where it's War Raiders, Ricochet, and Pete Dunne against against all four of the Undisputed Era.
Oh,
and you had that visual of all four of them in the ring facing each other right in the middle between the rings. Then they get in together.
Ricochet doing the double backflip off the cage.
And Pete Dunne being the last one because he was the heavy hitter, and everyone except Pete Dunne realized that he was the fucking heavy hitter. That one.
Wasn't there a tag team match that was either like three or four teams? I remember it had AOP in it, and like
DIY and the Revival.
AOP, DIY, and Revival.
That was for WrestleMania weekend. Match. And as soon as Gargano and Ciampa got eliminated, y'all went like,
"This is bullshit. Yeah. This is bullshit." Yeah,
yeah.
Which was the wrong answer. But
that match is fucking phenomenal. Yeah. the ladder match where DIY won the final. No. They still lost, right?
Yeah, the ladder match where his Altars of Pain is where Ciampa turned on Gargano. Yeah,
nothing with Asuka.
No.
You know what? I'm going to take that back.
Her versus the Iconics?
No. You can fucking hear a pin drop the split second before Asuka tapped Bayley out when Bayley passed out. Being there live, that match, dude, it gets overshadowed because Zayn Nakamura was such a barn burner.
Okay.
And the main event, I think it was first time ever, Finn versus Joe.
Yeah.
Dude, that gets overshadowed. But Asuka versus Bayley.
Joe didn't ruin that match. Well, Joe didn't ruin that match.
2 minutes in, and then he wanted to keep going. They kept stopping it. Yeah. But yeah, that's a sleeper. Asuka versus Bayley, number one.
That was sick-ass match.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay,
dude. NXT takeovers in general, man, they're just synonymous for fucking great matches.
What match or matches was it that turned us around on NXT San Antonio? Everyone's like, NXT is gonna suck at San Antonio.
Ty Dillinger, Eric Young, the opening match. It wasn't Rude Nakamura when Rude won the belt.
No,
it wasn't that.
It was
the four way with the women.
Asuka, the Iconics, and Nikki Cross.
Yeah, four way
match was fucking bad. Ass.
And it ended on the announcer's table.
Yeah. That was so good.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm looking at it right now. Like, looking at some different of these matches. Yeah.
Yeah, Warrior. Yeah.
That woman's title award. Ember Moon won here in Houston, which made it even better. Like, it was Ember Moon, Peyton Royce, Nikki Cross, and Kairi Sane. It was a four-way for the women's title. And Ember Moon won. Ember Moon versus Asuka, and Asuka's last technical match because he broke.
Oh, TakeOver New York 4?
Yeah. What's where? I think it was the same night that Adam Cole debuted.
Yeah. They debuted on 3.
Drew McIntyre versus Cien at TakeOver Houston.
Oh!
That was great.
Yeah.
That's true. We finally said,
It was true. Yeah, it was. It was true. It was Drew versus Cien. That was the match to turn me around on Cien.
Yeah. That was great. That was
even though Cien and Gargano had an opening match 2 years before they fought for the title. They had a curtain jerker opening match on the TakeOver.
Yeah, but no. Cien Gargano last year, fucking amazing.
Yeah. From Philly?
No. Just in general, dude. In general, so good. Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor in the ladder match?
Was it a ladder match? It was a ladder match. Yeah, the first match was the Brock Lesnar special in Japan where they were throwing streamers and Kevin had the flowers and was like, I don't care for flowers.
That was great. Just the lineage of great fucking takeover matches, man.
Yeah.
It's fucking good, man. I love the NXT just revitalized the fucking game on their own with all this shit, man. It's because think about where NXT came from. They were a fucking game show where Naomi beat out AJ. No, Caitlyn. Caitlyn beat out AJ
Lee
and Naomi.
That's a wrong start. You don't throw out the NXT game show and start with the women. You start with Bryan Danielson.
Titus O'Neil.
You start with Low Key.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah, but Titus O'Neil dropping the barrel and falling down.
Yeah.
Just
all that was just shit. A prelude to what the future of his career would bring.
Yeah. I think he meant to say prelude.
Prelude.
Not prelude.
Same. It's a tomato potato. Yeah. So, and then it arose. I remember being like, you guys telling me about NXT, because when Bray Wyatt debuted on NXT, to me, I was like, oh my God. I think you were like, yeah, dude, that's fucking been happening on NXT. And I was like, oh.
Didn't Bray have a really good match with like Tyler?
Bray had a good match with Chris Jericho.
That was, they've never been on NXT TakeOver.
It wasn't Bray? TakeOvers. It wasn't TakeOver. He was already in the main roster by the time TakeOvers. Yeah. But like, wasn't there like an NXT Bray's special first... or something that wasn't a TakeOver?
Yeah, it wasn't a TakeOver. That was like... It was Bray and Jericho. It was Bray and Jericho.
Okay.
It was fucking real good. I've seen it like post whatever.
Okay.
You ever see that GIF where Bugs Bunny is like taking a saw to the ground and Florida separates from the rest of the country because mm-hmm. Florida's a bunch of idiots?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what NXT needs to do from WWE. Just like...
Dude, it made – I love William Regal because of NXT. I grew up hating Steven Regal because he was boring. William Regal and the man's man was stupid. William Regal as a commissioner was okay. And then after that, it was just kind of like, man, William Regal, whatever. I love William Regal because they just sprinkle him in as the authority. And he's like, hey, you guys, hey, you guys are fighting. I'm going to make a match. You two at NXT 5000. Cool. That's it.
That's it. I'm out. Peace.
I'm getting paid thousands for this.
I'm rich, man.
Yeah, it's so fucking cool, man. But NXT has made so many stars. The fact that if you see that NXT has a YouTube channel, NXT, the WWE PC, dude, all you see all the shenanigans and all the bullshit that goes on backstage, just like, it's a family back there, man. It's like, yeah. Nikki Cross was genuinely emotional when she had to leave. And Tyler Breeze came back because it's greener pastures, man. It's just, it happens, man. It's fucking good.
Can we end the show on a laugh?
Sure. Yes.
First impressions when you saw Boombox Brock Lesnar. On Raw.
First,
oh Lord,
fucking loved it. First was like, I said this, and I was actually watching with my wife on Monday. She's like, I like this Brock. I'm like, me too. For once, I'm not annoyed. And for once, I'm like, oh, here comes big bad Brock. He's going to whoop everyone's ass. Dude, he's having the time of his life. And you can tell. Paul Heyman jamming the fuck out the Seth Rollins song. Oh my God. That was funny.
He looked time. Like he played bass. That was a riffage. That was a rhythm guitar player. Riffage. That's a bass player right there.
So that was
funny. You should have known that.
That was funnier than any time.
And Lesnar was like,
New Day did it.
Hey, stop making me look bad.
Yeah. Oh, Brock, dude. I'm loving it. I love this Brock. I love. And the fact that he said, wait a minute. I have a year? Let's get the fuck out of here.
That was the best part. I fucking hated the Brock party with him. And like, I'm like, oh, man.
Come on.
I hated it, man. I hated it.
I would buy a Money in the Bank briefcase if I could plug my iPod to it and use it as a box.
They overdid it this week.
I don't know, man. Like, it just seems stupid to me.
I hate it in the moment that Lesnar didn't know he had a year.
Yes.
But then thinking about it, like, this guy really doesn't give a fuck about this company.
That's the part I liked. Once it was like, I have a year? What the fuck? Why am I making this decision today?
Even here?
That part was good. But the fucking jam into the thing I was like, no.
I love that.
I didn't like it.
Facebook has like six different songs that they haven't bothered his head to.
I wanted this way by the Backstreet Boys today. It was fucking... But the fact that he was doing it to his own song the first week, it was like, hell yeah, that's fucking jam. It was so good. This is the best Brock Lesnar.
And the fact that he had no rhythm, of course, he's white. Oh, he had no rhythm. Come on, man.
Oh, man. The white guy from Minnesota who claims to be from Canada.
Yeah.
He's fucking. Oh, man. He's just.
Oh, no.
It's so good, man. WWE needs to step their fucking game up. And
that's why I hated it. WWE really need to step their game up. What do they give us? A goofy-ass Brock?
Why today?
Double
or Nothing lasts a week. Why?
Completely right.
Why? The war's not started yet. No. I'm still going to sleep. I'm still going to make sure I got all my
points. Why? They still got a year?
October?
Yeah, why?
No,
after SummerSlam. You're going to notice some changes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because, again, it's people are going to start saying, oh, this WWE's WWE's back to AEW. No, fuck. Before AEW was around the block, they knew that they were right across the street from Fox. Yeah. Any changes they do is not going to be, oh, shit, fucking AEW got in their heads. No. They need to make sure that they don't get kicked out off of Fox after 2 years because they want that money.
Mind you, WWE survived. I didn't know you guys, and I didn't care to know you guys. In mid-2000s, was saying, hey, TNA, bro, they're better than WWE. Hey, I'd rather watch TNA. Hey, I'm going to TNA Lockdown. I made that up. I don't know if it's a real thing.
It was in San Antonio. They used 10% of the fucking Alamo Dome. Come on.
The corniest lock I could use, and that was a pay per view. So, yeah. TNT.
They're all named show, after pornos.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Bomb for Glory.
So, yeah. Havana Nights and shit. So, anyway.
Slamiversary.
Hedonism.
Hardcore justice.
Oh, God. So, anyway.
That's a thing, really.
WWE has survived everybody so far. In fact, I just saw a special. They survived WCW twice because WCW was gonna have the big bang in 2001. That was a great documentary, by the way.
I need to watch it.
Very poorly done documentary because there's no actual interviews. They're all like
or footage because this was just like blueprints. Yes. They didn't even get the feet off the ground because right when they were getting started,
so this documentary was the voice of Booker T, the voice of Eric Bischoff. So they got a bunch of clips and just said that and with pictures. So it was like I was watching a fucking slideshow from fucking, you know, Microsoft or whatever. But I was entertained. It was great. Right.
It
good.
Sounds like VH1 Behind the Music. But then when they went back and remastered those, so it's a regular episode, but they spliced in like 10 minutes of brand new footage. This is like me watching the rise and fall of WCW.
And, the Wars.
And then I'll end cap it with this 10 minute little thing to be like, now actually, I know.
That's a perfect description.
Now I know how it goes.
Arnold, Scott the Scott says this.
Oi.
We went to lockdown. It was great. 5 fans, 100 friends, doesn't matter to me.
That was a badass lockdown, man. Me, Travis, and me, Aaron, and Scott, and my little smart car. We all drove up there.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And then we drove back that night. Dude, for what it was that
one,
show was good.
What was the one that was in the Astro Arena?
Oh, Victory Road, Victory 2008. Road. I'm still looking for a poster.
I remember fucking Scott Hall was out there in the hallway signing autographs. So I was like,
Kevin Nash.
And I kept walking. Oh, yeah, it was Kevin Nash.
That TriStar booth or whatever.
Yeah, and I was like, I kept walking.
Dude, that X Division match, the Ultimate X match with Kaz jumping from the corner to the – oh. I still have that video, and there's a moment in there where the fucking camera catches me going like this. Because like the rush of dopamine, like I didn't know what to do with it. And, like, and like I'm right there, like at the very top of the road with a fucking hard camera, and I'm like fucking having a panic attack and shit.
I've been on 2 episodes. I've been on WWE United Champions. I was like one of the first people they panned to in the crowd. And the first SmackDown after WrestleMania 31? The one in Dallas, 32?
32.
32. Was here and I was like second row and I was just that's all you saw
was that
me.
The one where Penny where
no,
they,
no
they
that,
picked
that
Penny?
Was just last year.
Okay.
This was before Penny was born but she wasn't there. Yeah. So anyway, I was like second row the whole fucking SmackDown.
Yeah.
It wasn't SmackDown Live yet.
Wasn't it your father-in-law that like took Penny over to the railing and that's how she got on
TV? That's how she got that's
yeah
how,
that was funny.
Know, Bobby Lashley said what's up to her on TV.
Yeah.
And Finn Balor came on during a commercial break.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
Shit, I came on the SmackDown before WrestleMania 21 when Cena
Holy
jumped
shit.
Into the fans. I was like a lot younger then. I was on the hard camera, the Raw after WrestleMania 25. Me, my ex-wife, and her kid. We were in the 5th row on the back,
nice.
But in the very corner. So whenever it would slide over,
yeah.
And oddly enough, I didn't see this. Somebody told me this on Facebook. They saw the second part of the JBL. Interview show that he had with Booker T, and they're talking about Booker T doing the fantasy camps and running ROW.
What?
And there's footage of me in that fantasy camp.
Oh, yeah.
Squats like I'm actually there training and shit. Like,
oh shit, that's awesome. The one day that you go to ROW to train,
yeah.
Able Gwyn every fucking 15, every freaking 2 months, twice a month.
The one fucking day.
That's right. A show, man.
That's
unless y'all want to add anything else.
I'm good.
Wrapped it up in a bow. Double or Nothing was great. AEW is here to stay. We'll see how you know how they go.
Don't say we'll see. You just said they're here to stay, so they're going to stay.
Well,
yeah.
We'll see how they go. with it. But I mean, fuck, they got TNT. They got like two pay-per-views before they start TNT.
Mm-hmm.
Fight for the Fallen, and
they're going to be airing Cider Fest on the Bleacher Report website, I think.
Nice.
And all out
in September.
All Out August 31st, right back in the Sears Center in Chicago once again.
Now, they didn't use the regular Chicago stars for this thing. They used CM Punk's Upside Down stars for this logo. Little food for thought. Let it go. But still.
Fucking bitch.
And just a little reminder for anyone that's thinking about going to All Out. All In sold out in 60 minutes. Double or Nothing sold out in 4 minutes. And now All Out back at the same place, which, by the way, Sears Center, they do not use Ticketmaster. They do not use Live Nation. They do not use Vivid or whatever the ticket system is that Toyota Center uses.
Okay.
They have their own separate one. The reason this show sold out in like 38 minutes was because their online site crashed the day the tickets went on sale. I don't know how I got them on the on sale date. So if you're planning on doing that, good fucking luck. And with that, we're done.
All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Hold on. You don't get to retire here. You don't get that. Because I got to ask you a favor. In front of God and the whole world. Before AEW was a thing, before we filled this place up, it was me, it was Kenny, it was Matt, it was Nick, it was Tony. And I put my name on a piece of paper for our show next month in Jacksonville for Fight for the Fallen. You know what the match that I put my name down on? It was myself and a partner of my choosing. Against what I think is the best tag team in the world, the Young Bucks. But Dustin, I don't need a partner. I don't need a friend. I need my older brother.
Good.
Can we kill this 24/7 title already?
Oh my god, it's so bad.
It's not even.
It started good. No, I liked it, and then this Tuesday they ruined it.
No. Yeah, Tuesday they ruined it. R-Truth was really making something out of it, but like this whole bullshit where Shane fucked them.
The hardcore match.
Said it in the chat, and I said echo the sentiment. They're burnt out on Shane. I fast forwarded Shane for 2 weeks.
I'm burnt out on Shane.
No, at least the hardcore title. There were matches that were already promoted, and people didn't run in during the match. You waited until the match was over. That you, dude, you can play like Benny Hill music on every fucking segment with this 24 people running after it. No, man.
You know what?
Take it out to the back and just.
This isn't the hardcore title. This is 24/7 title.
I don't give a fuck. Completely different title. It still sucks. Yeah.
But what does suck about it, the part that I didn't like about it, is that the second fucking week that we saw it on TV, they're already bastardizing the rules. Already.
At first, I was happy seeing Elias win it because I was like, oh, hey, look, it's not just a fucking undercard.
Yeah.
Let's first title.
That's
first
the
title.
Same.
His first title.
Win. That's the
and it
same
lasted
thing.
How long?
I don't know. I didn't watch the rest
of the match. Because I fell asleep when it happened, and
minute.
I woke up when he lost it.
I watched just enough to see Bayley Strong on SmackDown, and that's about it.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, it got halfway. Halfway through SmackDown, and it was whatever. And that's it. I didn't even get to finish watching the end of the match of Lacey and Bayley. It's still like an hour left of SmackDown. But yeah,
and it's weird that the arrow on her pants points to her butthole.
Points to her butthole.
Yeah.
Adentro, aquí. Bienvenidos.
Chris won tonight's game of racial bingo.
Ha ha! N47.
I lost it was my freaking insensitive transgender speak from last week. I defeated by this week.
You know what? I was trying to like ignore that, move past it, but you know what? You brought it up. God damn.
Oh man, that was.
When you cut the fucking feed.
Yeah, even I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have said that.
Can't take it back now. Oh, it's on YouTube for tens of people.
If you ever 30 people. If you ever run for a fucking Senate, you better watch out.
You already know what Asian demographic I
can't I know, right?
That interview for Lyft, the first 30 seconds, you'll be like.
Scott just called your ass out. Oh. He said you're babysitting that beer. What he doesn't know is that's your second.
No, what he doesn't know is this is not beer. Again. Yes. Two shots of cranberry juice, two shots of coconut rum, one shot of vodka, and the rest pineapple orange juice. This is not beer.
It's good. That's what it is. It's
too old. And I have the rest of the night. Once they're gone, I still have a whole pitcher. Half a pitcher.
A pitcher.
A pitcher.
Yeah, pitcher.
All right.
Not a belly itcher.
Oh, no.
Bye.